And here we are on the 16th day of May. I am Tim Mize. David Jenkins is along as well.
Hey, guess who's on line one?
Who?
Tobinot.
You don't say.
I do say.
That's fascinating. What does he possibly want?
I don't know. Just checking in.
That's great. He's going to be on hold for a while because we're certainly not going to talk to him right now.
All right.
So we are just days away from the beginning of postseason play for baseball and softball. And we were just talking before we came on the air, David, just it's the oddity or just how it is with the placement of the season at the end of the school year. You got graduations coming up. So a lot of different things on the platter for the student athletes here over the next week or two. But if you're a baseball or a softball player, you want to be playing baseball and softball after your graduation is passed.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you gotta believe a lot of these players are really anxious to get on the field, considering, at least from our standpoint, we've had quite the scarce season or sparse season and not a lot of games.
We haven't had as many broadcasts as we would like in a normal season, but we're going to try to make up for that now that regional week is upon us. Coming up on Monday, we'll have a pair of quarterfinal regional baseball games for you. Remember, the opening rounds of the baseball and softball tournaments are not played at the actual regional site. They are played at the site of the team with the better seed in the quarterfinal matchup. So coming up from the 2A Gillespie Regional on Monday, baseball action, it'll be played at Carthenville. It'll be Litchfield and the Cavaliers. That'll be live at 4:20 on WQSMI AM 1540. And then on Monday night from the 1A Lincolnwood Regional, it'll be Lincolnwood at Mount Olive to take on the Wildcats. That broadcasts Monday night 7:03 on FM 106. And then Wednesday, more baseball postseason action for you from the 1A Lincolnwood Regional. Either Morrisonville will be taking on Lincolnwood or Mount Olive. That'll be live Wednesday afternoon. And then Nokomis and Bunker Hill will be live on Wednesday night here on FM 106 at 6:30 in what will be a regional semifinal matchup. And then from the Class 2A Gillespie Regional, Southwestern will get the winner of Hillsboro or Staunton. And we'll have that game Wednesday night at 8 on FM 106. Of course, it's all online, WQSMIRadio.com. We'll stream it all, and the entire broadcast schedule is up there as well. But needless to say, David, we are going to have a lot of postseason action for you next week on the Tally Broadcasting Stations.
Yeah, and speaking of postseason, we actually, this past week, we didn't have it, but girls soccer, the postseason began as the regional championships were yesterday. And congratulations to Litchfield and Greenville. The Litchfield girls, they won the Carlinville Regional Championship. The Greenville girls won their own Greenville Regional Championship. So those two teams headed to the Quincy Notre Dame sectional. Rochester beat Quincy Notre Dame yesterday in the Rochester Regional Championship. So Rochester will play Litchfield. And then Williamsville and Riverton, the other regional championship, feeding into that Quincy Notre Dame sectional. And that game is, I guess, suspended. I guess they got started yesterday, but they'll pick it up again today at 10:30, so almost an hour, 15 minutes. And it's scoreless with 37-18 left in the first half. So
congratulations to Litchfield on the regional championship for girls soccer. On my way in today, the boys soccer team for Litchfield sold the Krispy Kremes in downtown Litchfield.
They were good.
Always good.
I had three.
Of course you did. You can never go wrong with the good old Krispy Kreme.
That's right.
So if you're out and about in Litchfield, get up there. They're at State Street, and then they were up by 66 as well, selling the Krispy Kremes.
I had three donuts, not three boxes. Just three donuts.
Good thing you clarified. You clarified that. Let's run down the postseason look here. We're going to start with Class 2A boys baseball in local regional tournaments. Gillespie will be hosting a regional. The two quarterfinal games will take place on Monday as 4th-seeded Staunton will host 5th-seeded Hillsboro. That will be 4:30 Monday afternoon in Staunton. And then we mentioned the Carthenville-Litchfield matchup at Carthenville Monday afternoon. We'll have it live on AM 1540 at 4:30. Southwestern, they are the top seed in the Gillespie Regional. Gillespie, the host Miners, are the 2-seed. And boy, it seems every year now Southwestern and Gillespie end up on a collision course in that regional championship. So Southwestern, the top seed, they will get either Staunton or Hillsboro. That'll be a Wednesday afternoon game. And then Gillespie will get either Litchfield or Carthenville. That will be a Thursday afternoon game. The Gillespie Regional feeding into the Vandalia Sectional. Also feeding into that Vandalia Sectional will be the Greenville Regional. And the Comets, they drew the 4-seed, so they will be hosting the Vandalia Vandals on Monday afternoon at 4:30. And then The winner of that game will take on top-seeded Breeze Modern Day at Greenville Wednesday afternoon. And then Breeze Central, the 2-seed there in Greenville, with Carlisle, the 3-seed. That'll be a Thursday afternoon contest, with the winner moving on to the Vandalia sectional. At the North Mac Baseball Regional coming up on Monday, North Mac gets to travel to Pittsfield on Monday afternoon as the 4th-seeded Sockies will take on North Mac. I got to go to Pittsfield last year, David, for the Toppers. Hillsboro went down there. They won the ball game, which made it nice. If you're going to drive almost to Hannibal, Missouri,
it's nice to get
the win. Yeah. Absolutely. So North Mac, come on, baby. Bring home that W. Pittsfield, though, if you're going down there, really cool baseball field.
Is that right?
It sits down in kind of a valley, but they have got one of the shortest right porches I've ever seen. It's almost like Fenway Park. Like, what do they call that? Pesky's Corner or Pesky's Pole? Pesky's Pole.
Yeah.
Like, it's that short of a fence and runs at that type of an angle. So it's not much of a poke to get it out down that right field line. But last year, I think it was Tom Mazzoli, he shut the door on them and they got the victory.
That.
So North Mac gets to go to Pittsfield
made
now.
Made it worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that'll be a Monday afternoon game, 4:30, if you'd like to make the trek over to Pittsfield. The winner of that game will get top-seeded Auburn at Verdon on Wednesday afternoon, and then Riverton, the 2-seed in that regional, with Beardstown, the 3-seed. And then at the Carrollton Regional in 1A baseball, the top-seed Calhoun, they will await the winner of Greenfield and Brussels. That game will be Monday afternoon at Greenfield. And then the 2-seed in the Carrollton Regional is Carrollton, and they will take on 3rd-seeded North Green. And that was just this football season when those two met up late in the football playoffs.
Carrollton and North Green?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Longtime rivals over there.
WIVC rivals.
Absolutely. So that will be a Thursday afternoon contest at Carrollton. Of course, all regional championship games will be played on Saturday, 11 a.m. or 1 o'clock.
Hopefully.
Depending.
Yes.
Yeah. Always weather permitting this time of year. And one thing we do know, that the 1A Carrollton Regional winner, they're moving into the Blackburn Sectional at Carlinville. Always a great venue there at Carlinville for those baseball sectionals. But it always rains. It always rains. So they always get the grounds crew to work when you're at the Blackburn Sectional in Carlinville. You can just mark it down. Like the Montgomery County Baseball Tournament's going to rain. Same deal.
Yeah.
Same deal.
Yeah. They do a good job, though, that Blackburn staff.
Oh, phenomenal. The field's always ready to play. Yeah. Always ready to play. Let's look at the 1A softball brackets here. A lot of local teams competing in the 1A softball tournament coming up next week. The Lincolnwood Regional will take place beginning on Monday, but it'll be played in Morrisonville, with 4-seeded Morrisonville taking on Ramsey in that quarterfinal matchup on Monday afternoon at 4:30. The winner will get top-seeded Nokomis at Lincolnwood on Tuesday afternoon. And then the second seed there is Mohiqua Central A&M, and they will take on 3rd-seeded Lincolnwood. That'll be a Tuesday evening game at 6:30. So they're going to play both semifinals on Tuesday at Lincolnwood. And I always like that. No matter what the sport is, when you get both semifinals of a regional on the same night, just especially like in basketball, it just really brings the atmosphere up. Same deal with softball, though, really. When you can get both games, there's just something about when you know there's that second game, when teams are waiting in the wings, watching that first game conclude.
It's fun to have. You don't get it very often to have a high school game under the lights.
It makes it more of an event,
yeah.
I think, when you got two, and especially if you get to go under the lights.
Yeah, and I wonder if with both Nokomis and Central A&M, if a lot of the softball players are basketball players, if we'll see a lot of the same people competing.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Small school.
True.
The winner of the Lincolnwood Regional will go into the St. Anthony Sectional in Effingham. At the Carrollton 1A Softball Regional, Calhoun is the top seed. They will face the winner of Greenfield and Pleasant Hill. That'll be a quarterfinal game played on Monday afternoon at Greenfield. And then the second-seeded Carrollton Hawks will take on 3rd-seeded Brussels in the regional semifinals there at Carrollton. That'll be a Tuesday night game at 7 o'clock. So both semifinals at Carrollton will be played on Tuesday as well. And then the Edwardsville Metro East Lutheran Regional has Mulberry Grove, the top seed. The Ace is another powerful squad. Mount Olive is the 2-seed. They will take on 3rd-seeded Bunker Hill. That'll be a Wednesday night game. And then top-seeded Mulberry Grove, they will get the winner between Lebanon and host Metro East. But the game will be played at Lebanon. So there's a bit of an oddity. We've seen that We saw it with Vandalia a couple of years ago. They were hosting a baseball regional but had to travel to Carlinville to play that quarterfinal game because Carlinville was the better seed. And now you see it here. Metro East Lutheran hosting the regional, but they got to go on the road to Lebanon in that quarterfinal matchup.
That's where you really like to win that opening game so you can get back and play baseball or softball on your home field.
Not that you need extra incentive to win a postseason game.
But it's there.
But it's certainly there in this case, absolutely. In 2A softball coming up next week at the Carlinville Regional, Gillespie gets the top seed. They will get the winner between Litchfield and Hillsboro. Shocking, the Panthers and the Toppers squaring off once again. The game will be played Monday afternoon at Litchfield at 4:30. Litchfield the 4, Hillsboro the 5. And, of course, they just played in the regional championship game in basketball. And it is amazing that it seemingly every year Litchfield and Hillsboro find themselves matched up in the regional.
Am I crazy, or it doesn't seem like they match up together in the baseball, softball, or at least in the softball postseason?
Well, they are this year.
Yeah, they are this year. But this year. I think in the last couple of years they've been in separate regionals.
This year, though.
No, not this year. That's right.
But it does seem to happen in basketball probably more frequently.
Yeah, basketball a lot more often. But in baseball, softball, I'm not sure it happens that
often. So Gillespie will get the winner, and that game will be played at Carlinville then on Tuesday. With Carlinville the 2 seed, they will take on 3rd-seeded North Mac. That'll be a Wednesday afternoon contest at Carlinville. And then over at the Auburn Regional, you've got Auburn the top seed with Pleasant Plains the 2 seed. And then in the Roxana Regional, you've got 4th-seeded Roxana. They will host 5th-seeded Southwestern. Southwestern, a 5-seed this year. The winner will get top-seeded Dupo at Roxana on Tuesday. And then Wood River and Staunton in a 2-3 matchup will play in Roxana Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. So another scenario where you've got both regional semifinals on Tuesday evening. And the last regional of local interest here at WSMI is the Greenville Softball Regional. 4-seeded Greenville and 5th-seeded Vandalia will get it kicked off in the quarterfinal round. That game will be at Greenville Monday afternoon at 4:30. The winner will get top-seeded Bree Central on Tuesday afternoon. And then the 2-seed Trenton Westland will take on 3rd-seeded Carlisle Tuesday evening in Greenville. So I'd say about half of the softball brackets we've read here have the regional semifinals, both 1 and 2, on the same night. Mm-hmm. And that pretty much, Pena then will be at the Sullivan Regional. They will be hosting Villa Grove Monday at Pena at 4:30. If the Panthers can get the win, they will travel to Sullivan and take on Tuscola.
Of course, this year, the 2A softball sectional at Williamsville, the ones that we will be covering the last couple of years, it's been at Litchfield. This time, it's at Williamsville, and of course, Williamsville has won the sectional the last 2 years for their softball team.
Powerful.
Yes, very good.
In a lot of different sports.
Yes, and this is, I believe, their head coach, Jane Grebner. This is her final season, her final go.
Well, we just talked about it a moment ago. Not that you need motivation in the postseason, but there's some for you.
Exactly.
Send coach out on a high note. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages. And we are back on WSMI Sports Saturday. Regional baseball and softball beginning next week. We'll have all sorts of coverage for you on the Tally Broadcasting stations. You can find the broadcast schedule, WSMIRadio.com. This afternoon on AM 1540, the Cardinals, they are at Busch Stadium this weekend hosting the Detroit Tigers. We'll have it live this afternoon, 12:20 on AM 1540. And Cardinals got smoked last night, David, and really probably the first time this year where they came to bat in the ninth inning with not really a legitimate chance to get the tying run to the plate and maybe win the ballgame. They have not been blown out hardly at all this year.
That's when it happened, was the ninth inning. I mean, they were down 6-4 heading in the top of the ninth. I think the Tigers added on 4 more runs and really put it out of reach. So first time it's happened all year. It probably won't be the last. It'll happen again at some point probably. But
probably so.
Yeah.
It's a long, long year. When you start looking at the baseball season just, you know, at weeks at a time, the last week for the Cardinals, by the way that they started, you know, you say, boy, they didn't play very well. Well, they had a 500 road trip.
Yeah.
And then came home last night and were competitive in the ballgame for 8 innings.
And, you know, technically this road trip is over, or this past road trip is over, but I don't consider it being over considering they're going back on the road for however many more games. I consider this...
It's a stopover in St. Louis.
Yeah, it's a stopover in St. Louis. I don't really consider the road trip over with yet, just because they're in St. Louis for 3 against Detroit and then in New York and Kansas City next week. So
they've lost one series, 2 out of 3 games, but they haven't lost a series yet when Matt Carpenter is with the club, if you want to put it that way.
That's true.
It was good to get him back once the club got to Cleveland. And we were talking last week, boy, like, it's pretty just odd, scary situation. Glad to see was obviously nothing serious with Carpenter. Was just dehydration and extreme fatigue, I guess. But he doesn't look, I would say, completely normal like he had been looking. But I think that's probably to be expected. But, boy, that dude, he still rakes.
He could, rakes. He could also be entering a slump. Which better
by
now,
his standards.
Yeah, better now than in September, October.
But I mean, you know, he misses a whole series against Pittsburgh, comes out in Cleveland, and then winds up hitting the game-winning homer on the last day there. He's just amazing.
Well, and he was a big part of the first win in Cleveland, going 2-for-5 with a
doubles machine.
RBIs. Yeah. It's something when you break Stan Musial's doubles record back in 2013.
That's exactly right. And then last year, of course, you know, the doubles were down, and maybe you think, well, there you go. But you see the way he's playing this year. All of a sudden, last year looks like the outlier.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously we've talked about this before. He's changed his approach. He's more aggressive now. They've dropped him down to the two-hole to get him, you know, one more RBI opportunity. From an offensive standpoint for the team, I think, and obviously it's still just the middle of May, but I think they're obviously doing better than they did last year. I think they're doing better than 2013 as far as a consistency standpoint. Because, yeah, they were record-setting in 2013, but they would hit these dry spells that would last forever, it seemed like. And then, you know, they would be the best offense in the league. And then they would be, you know, dry for a week or two. There hasn't been that extended period yet. Of, you know, dry offense. They've really done a good job consistently offensively.
And if you think about it, really, it's the exact same team they had last year, because the one big piece that was supposed to be the big difference maker from a year ago was Jason Hayward, and he's really not done a whole heck of a lot.
Well, he's heating
here.
Up.
He's batting eighth.
Yeah, but he's heating up.
He is heating up. Yeah. But the point being, their offense is doing this with basically the same players they had last year, because that was the odd thing about last year. These weren't like a bunch of young guys like the Cubs have, like prospects with, you know, potential. These were proven major leaguers with track records where these guys have done this, but yet none of them really did it a year ago. But yet now you see that the track record is coming back into play more this year.
Well, and what's amazing is, you know, the loss of Oscar Tavares, what it really does for the offense is, I mean, the lineup all of a sudden, it's definitely not that it wasn't in a win now mode, but it's definitely in a win now mode now, because there really isn't that one piece to build around for the future offensively.
That's the beauty of the Cardinals, though. They're always in win now mode. Like, they have that perfect balance of win now, but yet not mortgage the future to win now. So they've really done, that's why they've been so consistent probably over the last 15 to 20 years, is because they have the man in place in Mosaic, like the last, you know, number of years, that he's not going to panic. He didn't go out and make a crazy deal after Wainwright went down.
Yet.
You know, yet. But it won't be a crazy deal at this point, because it won't be a reactionary move to an injury. It'll be evaluating the situation and be like, all right, we gave Tyler Lyons a chance. You know, we're going to give Marco Gonzalez a chance. We're going to give Jaime Garcia a chance. And if none of those guys, you know, are able to fill the role, then he's going to go out and make a move. He's proven that. Like, when push comes to shove, he's not afraid to make the move to make the club better, even if it ruffles feathers.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing right now, is what's going to happen with the fifth starter spot, because I think it's safe to say we all assumed it was going to be Marco Gonzalez's job whenever he got healthy and right. And right now, he's nowhere near being right. He's really scuffling down in AAA.
And how frustrating it must be for a young guy like that, to where all he's been waiting for is the opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
The shot. Where's that opening in the rotation? Well, here it is, and now he's hurt.
That has to be so frustrating. Yeah, he was fantastic in spring training. It was, you know, Carlos barely, probably, you know, he beat him out for the fifth starter job, but it was really close. So you send Marco down to AAA so he can get innings in, not start the season in the bullpen. And now, you know, he has this pectoral injury. He's coming back, and he's not looking great. So he's still young. He's, I think, probably 22, 23.
He's probably never been hurt before either. So you got to figure out how to come back from injury.
Exactly.
And those types of things. But I'm sure that's just eating at him, thinking, oh man, I could be up there. If healthy, he would be here right now.
Yeah. And then Jaime, I think, pitched yesterday. I haven't seen what happened with that start, but I mean, he's the next guy that they're going to look to fill that.
If his arm didn't fall off, it was a good day for Jaime.
Yeah.
The left arm is still attached. It's good.
I think it probably is. I haven't heard otherwise, and I assume I would have heard.
Then it was, right. Then it was a successful rehab start for Jaime Garcia.
He's okay.
One of the big questions for me with the Cardinals offense is Matt Adams. We talked about this in the show a few weeks ago, and Matt Adams really has gotten worse since that time. I mean, this dude is struggling big time. And you just wonder, Mark Reynolds started at first last night with a righty on the mound. If you're going to play Matt Adams, you cannot put him in the middle of the order. It's Alan Craig 2.0. Once again, you can't have a guy like that because he looks like a power hitter. He looks like a big lumbering guy. He's a ground ball machine. He hits ground balls. He's got no lift in his swing. This is no good.
It's like the reverse of
the fast guy. Like they get fined if they hit the ball in the air. Mike Matheny should start fining Matt Adams every time he hits the ball on the ground, you know?
Like, Willie Mays Hayes
situation. Exactly. Ground ball, fine.
You know, he may need to hit in the eighth spot in the order at this point.
You know, they were encouraging him to drop down bunts against the shift anyway.
It could also help him work on his patience and lay off some of those bad, because he's going to see a lot of bad pitches hitting in front of the pitcher. So, you know, work on your patience. Get on base more. I mean, he'd be a base clogger with as big as he is.
He can't bat fourth or fifth. That's all. Six or seven. That's
well,
fine.
I'm surprised
eight,
that he had been, to be honest, because especially the way Peralta had been hitting. I mean, you had to make him your cleanup hitter.
Yeah, but I overall like Mike Matheny, but he has proven over the last few years that he's got his guys.
Yes.
And he views his guys batting in a specific place in the order. Alan Craig's a perfect example last year.
I'm not sure Adams is one of his guys, though.
It's hard to argue against it at this point, David.
Yeah,
it's hard to argue it against it. What other young type of player can struggle like that and keep his spot in the heart of the order? Not still playing, but he did not really move out of that fourth spot.
I understand that, but his guys don't get platooned. Like his guys, he waits to the last possible minute to platoon them. Like if Adams were really one of his guys, Reynolds wouldn't. I mean, Reynolds wouldn't be getting as much playing time as he would.
Well, Zalock's the boss.
And we've already seen that there's been a disconnect between the two last year. So,
well, Zalock has proven he did it with Chris Duncan when the production wasn't there, but Tony continued to play him. Yeah. He did it last year with Alan Craig when the production wasn't there, but Matheny continued to play him. He will pull the plug on a guy that the manager refuses to.
Yeah, he will.
Not that's going to happen, but it wouldn't be a bit surprising if Adams continues to struggle and continues to bat cleanup, you know, more days than not. Unless something changes, a move will be made.
I think maybe something they may be hoping for is that Piscotty starts hitting better in AAA.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah. He's
the great Stephen Piscotty. How long are we going to hear about this guy?
He's off to a slow start this year because he's altered his approach and his swing, trying to generate more power. And I think he's just now getting back to the way it was, and his average is starting to climb back up there.
Yeah, he's quickly becoming the prototypical baseball prospect bust. Always hear about how great he's going to be. Where is he at? Why wasn't he called up recently? He got Holiday, got Dean. They called up Xavier Scruggs.
Well, because where's he's Piscotty? Still only hitting .231.
Either he's your best hitting prospect or he's not.
But he's not ready.
That's my point, though. He's been on the cusp here for two
he's
or
not,
three
he's,
seasons
he's
now.
He's also not on the 40-man roster.
This name. There's the problem.
Yeah. I was surprised.
If he was that good, would he not be on the 40-man roster?
Well, we also could be talking about a team control issue thing. Because they didn't – there was debate about whether they would call him up last September, but he wasn't on the 40-man roster last September. And if they would have put him on the 40-man roster last September, they would have – been in jeopardy of losing him in the Rule 5 draft a year sooner. And then this year, I don't know why they didn't put him on this year. I guess they had other players to put on the 40-man roster.
They don't want to start that clock. We saw that with Chris Bryant.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that was another – the two main reasons he didn't get called up recently was because he's off to a slow start and he's not on the 40-man roster. So they would have had to make some kind of move, which the move honestly could be – Adam Wainwright, you're headed to the 60-day DL. That frees up a spot.
Dollars and cents. And again, Mozeliak not making panic moves, always making the smart baseball move.
Right.
And that's what the Cubs did with Chris Bryant. That was a smart baseball move. And my goodness, that young man has found his stride, and he is raking right now. Although I saw an odd stat the other day about Chris Bryant before he hit the three-run tater in the first inning against the Pirates. In 60% of his plate appearances, he has walked or struck out.
Wow.
I had to rewind. Like, did I just see that right? But that's what it said.
That either way, that may not be much of a bad thing, because that means he's seeing a lot of pitches as a young guy.
He definitely sees his pitches.
Yeah.
And apparently he just needed the bleacher bums out in left field to hit a home run at Wrigley. The Cubs haven't lost the game since the bleachers opened to left field, and Bryant's got like three homers.
Yeah. I mean, they've got an offense to be proud of right now. They've really got this should be their year. Next year.
And if you're a Cubs fan, you can't talk about curses or bad luck, because Gregory Polanco forgot how to walk in right field, making a routine play. I've never seen such a thing in the ballgame in extra innings, no less. Short pop fly. The runner's not going to tag from third, and Polanco just trips. I don't know if he tripped over he basically just tripped on the line in the grass, essentially, and lost his balance and was bumbling and stumbling out there, and what a helpless feeling. You know, I always thought that losing a ball in the sun would be one of the worst feelings. I think that would be worse.
Could be that Wrigley thing. This odd thing seemed to happen defensively at Wrigley Field.
Well, it happened yesterday. Yeah. It's a blooper for the ages. It's an all-timer.
Yeah. I tell you, how about Anthony Rizzo batting second? That's different.
Hey,
but he's also among the league leaders in on-base percentage. So.
Joe Maddon is Tony La Russa reinvented.
Yeah.
Bats the pitcher eighth, likes power in the two-hole.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot. I see a lot of La Russa in Maddon, with the gamesmanship, the us against the world mentality, chip on their shoulder, and then just the odd strategic moves that you make you think, well, does this guy think he's smarter than everybody else? Hey, yes, because he probably is.
Yeah, he probably is. I think not to say players didn't like Tony, but I think players like Joe Maddon a lot more than they did Tony. He's more of a player's manager than Tony was.
Absolutely. Yeah. More of a player's manager. Apparently they're dropping a disco ball down in the clubhouse now after they win ball games and having parties.
When he was with the Rays, you know, and they would go on these road trips, they'd have like a themed dress up to go on the road trip, which is
that's the beauty. That's, you got to have those things.
Yeah.
It's the behind the thing stuff in baseball, cuz it's such a long grind. You got to be able to have fun and let loose. But I find the disco ball and the booze parties after wins just an odd thing. Will they do that? If that becomes their ritual and their thing, that's fine. But if you get to the playoffs, are you dropping the disco ball and having beer parties after you win game one of a series?
Ooh.
You know, I'm just wondering, just thinking, you know, projecting it forward. I got no problem with the partying and celebrating the wins. That's fine.
You're really messing.
But you got to think about this if you're a Cubs guy. There are playoffs at the end of it.
You're really messing
there is something
with the
past
minds
September.
Of Cubs fans everywhere, because now, you know, if you do throw the booze parties and everything and you lose in the playoffs, you shouldn't have been throwing those booze parties. Well, if you don't and you lose in the playoffs, you should have kept with the ritual. You should have. So now
like,
you're really in a hole.
I love the ritual. I love the concept. I'm sure the players love it. It's great in May, June, July, August. But you get into October, can you throw a disco ball beer party after a game one win? If you got like Steven Strasburg lined up in game two, or you just beat Max Scherzer in game one, let's have a party. Here's Gio Gonzalez, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
I don't know. I just thought it to be interesting. Like, what will they do? Will they continue to do it?
Well,
they're playing good baseball right now.
We know what the excuse will be, at least right now. It seems at this point, if and when they lose in the playoffs.
Oh yeah, it's already there.
Yeah, it's already there.
It's shaping up though, like it could be a Cards Cubs type of summer, and maybe a run and sprint for the division. And boy, would that be fantastic! Forget about baseball. It'd be good for baseball. It would be fantastic for the Cards and Cubs rivalry to finally have it come down to those two squads.
And what's fantastic about this is the last few years, you know, with the Reds, you know, obviously with the Reds-Cardinals rivalry, with how that really started back in 2010, and the Brewers back in 2011 with how that started. It was nice whenever the four-game series with the Cardinals took three from Chicago here at home. It was nice to hear the Cubs players, you know, say, we look up to the Cardinals. We respect them. I mean, they've done it the right way for so long.
I would hope so, yes.
Yeah, and they're not looking to make any enemies. So it's nice to see that they're really not trying to, you know, bully them and try and intimidate them into losing.
It hasn't worked. You're
exactly right.
The Reds tried it, failed. The Brewers tried it, failed. The Pirates haven't really tried to bully the Cardinals. Those have just been really great well-played baseball games, two hard-nosed clubs just really competing and grinding at each other. But you're exactly right about the Cubs. Don't poke the monster.
Yeah.
Just let them alone.
Yeah.
Just let them alone. And at that time, the Cardinals were playing about as good as a professional baseball team could play to start a season. I mean, best record in the history to start a season of the Cardinals ever, which is staggering.
Mm-hmm.
They're setting records all over the place, David. Apparently the other night when they got shut down by Corey Kluber, the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner, it was the most strikeouts they had in a game since like 1914.
Yeah,
like
it was
19
a while.
Strikeouts.
Yeah.
That's
18,
a lot.
18.
From Kluber. They struck out once in the ninth inning, I think, for 19, didn't they?
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
But Kluber, yeah, the starting pitcher had 18
okay,
and
yeah,
8.
Yeah.
That's not a bad day at the office.
After a bad start to the season, too.
One hit for him. 18 strikeouts.
Yeah. Wow.
It's pretty good line.
Good thing Peralta got that hit.
No kid.
There wasn't, and I heard, like, there wasn't a hard hit ball by them all night, even the hit. I mean, they didn't hit anything hard all evening. And maybe Matt Holliday leaving in the first inning had something to do with that. But
yeah, he got hit all right.
Yeah, he got hit.
Still had the C marks to prove it the next day. Yeah.
Well, and then there was the slick ball thing going around with the balls being slick in Cleveland. Of course, Lackey didn't use that as an excuse because he came out and said that someone was trying to create the controversy that, you know, the balls were a little bit slicker, kind of like it was in Cincinnati a few years ago. But
not rubbed down properly.
Yeah, not rubbed down, yeah. Not muddied up. But Lackey was like, hey, Kluber was using the same pitches balls I was. So.
Yeah, I don't like it when teams start using things like that. Oh, the baseballs weren't rubbed up properly. that was the reason. No, absolutely. No.
Wasn't enough air.
Right. Yeah, not enough air in the ball.
Yeah.
The deflator. Just apparently that's a new age weight loss term.
Yeah.
I learned that.
You know?
I was glad to know. I didn't know.
I never referred to myself.
Really need to deflate down a little bit.
Yeah,
You're a little inflated. You need to deflate down.
I'll get right on that.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Do they think people are just morons?
They do, because they're the freaking New England Patriots.
I mean, come on.
They think they can do that.
Insulting. The cover-up is always worse than the crime. It is always worse than the crime. You took a little air out of the football, so what?
Could you be stupider? With
no.
your excuses.
No.
For as, quote, great, unquote, as an organization as they have been in the last 15 years.
That whole document might as well have been written in crayon.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Deflator.
Yeah.
Weight loss.
Really?
Right. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, we'll have the Cardinals and the Tigers from Busch Stadium this afternoon live 12:20. On AM 1540, then high school regional baseball for you on Monday afternoon. From the 2A Gillespie Regional, a quarterfinal game to be played at Carthenville. The Cavaliers will host Litchfield live at 4:20 Monday afternoon on AM 1540. And then also on Monday, right here on FM 106, from the Lincolnwood Regional, a quarterfinal game, Mount Olive will host Lincolnwood, and we'll have the broadcast 7:03 Monday night here on FM 106. Check WSMIRadio.com for the entire broadcast schedule coming up next week. But David, we were talking a little bit about Deflategate. Can we please stop naming every controversy with a gate?
Steve,
you know, I mean, come on.
Actor Steve Carell had a great tweet, which I'm sure was on everybody's minds before he tweeted this earlier this week. But he's like, if Watergate happened today, it'd be Watergate Gate.
It's so
people
true.
Don't realize that Watergate was the hotel.
It was the hotel. That's exactly right. Because I remember when it started, I thought to myself, this is going to be a big story. Please don't go with Gate. Oh, Deflategate.
Of course.
Oh, boy. Spygate, Deflategate, Bountygate.
It happened. It's the NFL, too.
It's so,
oh, it's all
it's
the
all
NFL.
It's all the NFL. It's so lazy.
Yeah.
It's so lazy. Come up with something. I mean, come on. A little out-of-the-box thinking. They could have come up with something so much more entertaining for this whole story.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness gracious. It's a comedian's dream.
Well, they're
dream.
Not the smartest people out there in
apparently
the NFL.
Not. Just easy. Deflategate. But the cover-up be worse than the crime. You got the Patriots starting to sue the NFL.
Of course they are.
Why wouldn't
they? Well, they've got, what, wasn't this the largest fine in NFL history for a team?
$1 million. Bucks, lost two picks,
well,
a first round and a fourth
and I
round.
Think the max is $500,000, but it was $500,000 for, like, ignorance and $500,000 for repeat offenders.
They
something
took,
like that.
They took the Spygate thing into account and held that
against them.
As well. Repeat offenders.
Yeah.
Basically, you know.
Which is why Brady got four games also, because they're repeat offenders. Because if this was the first time, he probably gets one or two and can appeal it to nothing.
Yep.
Now, that they, I mean, because the Patriots have the reputation they had. And I am, for one, I am glad that they're finally getting punished for Spygate,
oh,
because
absolutely.
That was a joke.
It was. It was. And the fact that they're mad at Roger Goodell now for coming down too hard, okay, maybe he did come down a little too hard. The argument could be made. Yeah. But they came.
He did nothing for Spygate.
The punishment had very little to do with the actual deflated footballs and the arrogance of how the Patriots handled themselves and refusing to really cooperate with the investigation. Yeah. That's where most of the punishment came from. But the fact that you basically got away with videotaping your opponents illegally for years and got nothing out of it.
And the way it was handled by the commissioner at the time, because go back, the three big things, you know, happening, what with with the videotaping, the bounty scandal with the Saints, and now the deflated footballs. It took almost 3 months for them to come out with this punishment. So he did his homework. They took their time going through everything. It took him something like 3 weeks for the Saints thing, which is still, you know, they did their thoughts. You know how much time it took him for the videotaping thing? 6 days.
Huh.
They came up with their conclusion in 6 days.
It's not interesting.
Yeah. They had no interest in suspending or punishing the Patriots.
Well, they wanted
that
to go away as quickly as possible.
And that's why they destroyed the evidence.
And that's why, from the Patriots' perspective, they just need to shut up and just take their medicine. Because I hate to tell Patriots fans, but outside of like New England, all those Super Bowls are tainted.
Oh, yeah.
Because you got the first group of them that you could make the case that they were one with illegal spying.
Yeah.
With the videotaping. You'll never convince me otherwise, honestly, just from this standpoint. Crazy Rams conspiracy theorist here, but the Rams go in to Foxborough that year, beat them. Beat the Patriots in New England, chilly, I think, late November night.
Yep.
You know, get them in a dome, and suddenly they can't do anything. Yep. Remember watching, it was like, it's like they know what's coming. Oh, well, maybe they did. So that group of Super Bowls is tainted with that. And then you hear about these deflated footballs, maybe going back to all the way like 2007 when Tom Brady was one of the quarterbacks who really pushed the league to allow them to have access to the footballs. And ever since that point, New England's fumble percentage is like below the league average. So it not only helped Tom Brady throw a better football, it helped their running backs not fumble. Yep. It helped their receivers make the catches. And I thought about it, it made perfect sense.
Think about how many times
Peyton Manning went up to Foxborough in just awful conditions and couldn't do anything, and Tom Brady's just throwing beams and seeds right through the snow, right through the wind.
And, of course, that was before it was, you know, all the teams supply your own footballs. At the time, that was, you know, home team supplies the footballs, which makes complete sense.
And they were
sense.
Always in Foxborough. And the one time that Peyton got to play old Tom Brady in Indy, he beat him.
Yeah. Well, he's beat him a couple times on his home field.
Yeah.
With Denver last year.
But that's exactly why, if you're a New England fan, just accept the fact that you guys cheated your
You've
way
been
to
cheating.
Form. You did.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not the reason that you won all the Super Bowls, but it was certainly an advantage that helped you. And in the NFL, where every game's a field goal game, any advantage is an advantage.
The most telling part about the whole Rams Super Bowl conspiracy was Marshall Faulk explained this. They had specific new plays drawn up the week of the Super Bowl. No one had ever seen them. No defense had ever seen them. Mike Martz, one of the greatest offensive minds in NFL history, creates these plays for goal line situations. Nobody's ever seen them. Never run them in a game all season, ever.
Mad Mike just concocted them.
Yes.
Out of his crazy mind.
They run them in the Super Bowl. Patriots defense has checkdowns for all of them. What?
Hmm.
Okay, once maybe you get lucky and stop them, but every single one of them, are you kidding me?
It's truly fascinating that you could make the case that the whole dynasty was built outside the boundaries of the rules.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, how else does a seventh-round draft pick become one of the, greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen?
Well, yeah. I mean, you could say that. It's not abnormal for late-round guys.
Right.
But, you know, yeah. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback probably of all time. Arguably.
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 I won't say that.
Not now.
No. No, well, and that's the other thing about this. Obviously, you know, this whole controversy, this doesn't take Brady out of the Hall of Fame.
No.
He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He should be in the Hall of Fame. It does, however, take him out of the conversation for greatest quarterback of all time. He's no longer in that conversation. I mean, because where it was so tight before, it's gone now. Because with that stain, you can't be in the conversation anymore.
I can't disagree with you. I don't see how you could really. Yep. Unless you just want to totally say, well, everyone was doing it, which is very possible because you don't hear a lot of the other quarterbacks coming out and say anything. But So what? They got caught.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and
the Patriots, they should
really
be. He's
got this and Spygate.
How can they not be better cheaters? Like, you're doing it all the time. You guys should be a lot better at it.
Well, and what I've often thought about whenever this came out, let's say, you know, okay, let's pretend that the Patriots didn't have any knowledge of the videotaping or didn't have any knowledge of, you know, the footballs being deflated. Who is hiring these guys? I mean, you gotta hire some better people. Your HR department's not doing a very good job.
Well, that's the other thing. No one seems to really dispute the fact that the football's got the air taken out of them. So what the Patriots would have me believe, just, you know, speaking for me personally, what they want me to believe is that these low-level game day employees or, you know, locker room attendants who are full-time probably, who, that's a dream job, I would imagine. You're behind the scenes. You're in the locker room. You've got access that a fan could only dream of. So that's an awesome gig.
Oh, yeah.
So you're telling me that those guys are going to take air out of footballs without Tom Brady's approval, without him knowing? You're telling me these guys in that job are going to do that? No way.
Yeah.
It defies logic. It doesn't make any sense. The logical thing is the franchise golden boy quarterback comes up to the locker room attendant, hey, man, I need you to do me a solid. We'll be tight.
Yeah.
Be boys. I'll help you out.
Yeah.
Which is more logical, common sense-wise, if you were in that position, you know?
You're exactly right.
I mean, come on.
What I look forward to is, obviously, he could get, if the appeal could stand or get thrown out and he gets suspended 4 games. Okay, 4 games is up. How's he going to perform? Is he going to be the same Tom Brady of old? Is he going to struggle because the footballs are not deflated the way he likes them? Is he going to struggle just because this is all hanging over his head?
All could be true. Yeah. You know, if the suspension doesn't get reduced, first game back at Indy.
I saw that, yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
They had to,
and
you know,
that,
they had to
happens,
just hate that.
I don't know what will happen the rest of the year, but if his 4-game suspension holds and his first game is back at the Colts, mark it down, they will win by 40.
Who, the Patriots?
Oh, yeah, they'll blow their doors off because they will view, you know, they view the Colts as basically whistleblowers, and they're the ones who got him in trouble, which is ridiculous in and of itself. You cheated and you got caught. But they blame the Colts, and they will blow their doors off if that's Tom Brady's first game back.
Colts could make it a game, though. I mean, they got one of the best quarterbacks in the league now in Andrew Luck. And, you know, Brady won't have really any warm-up beforehand. I mean, he won't have game action before that. That'll be his first regular season game where everybody else is in mid-season mode.
Yeah, but that's a made-for-TV event right there. That's a spectacle.
Boy, if that wasn't a Sunday night game already, it's going
to be. It will
be.
That's going to be now. That's exactly right. So we'll see what happens with the old Patriots. And, you know, Tom Brady and all his crew, they were at the Kentucky Derby a couple of weeks ago having a great time, went out to the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, you know, really yucking it up, having a good time, as you should in your offseason. I wonder if they'll be at the Preakness today. Think Tom Brady shows up just like he did all, you know, chest pumped out at the Preakness, walking around?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe just the guys who were deflating the footballs.
Gronk will be there.
Yeah. I can't stand that guy.
Gronk?
Yeah.
That guy could probably crush a football with his hand.
Probably.
Pop it.
But what's so funny about that was when he was getting lambasted for going out and partying after they lost the Super Bowl to the Giants. Nothing has changed. And, you know, now he's partying now, and now it's acceptable.
Something changed.
They won.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Dude, bottom line, no matter the professional sport, like Al Davis said, win, baby, win.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
You know, look at all the issues the NFL had. And what a terrible year for the NFL. You thought, boy, how could it get worse?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it got worse. Yeah, and it might just continue to get worse. But
your favorite team and the assistant commissioner got suspended.
Talent plays no matter what. Yeah. Look at a guy like Greg Hardy. If he wasn't a good football player, he wouldn't be on a roster.
Yeah.
That's just a fact. Ray Rice, if he was in the prime of his career, he would be on a roster. But since he was on the tail end of his career, he's not good enough anymore. Once T.O. wasn't elite, guess what? He's not worth the hassle. If you've got the talent and you're a game changer, you will be on a team
and you
will be on the field because you can win games. That's all that matters.
Except Hardy's going to miss practically the whole season now. 10 games. Most of it.
Yeah, but then he's got the rest of his career.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until he's not good enough, then he'll get cut.
Goes down with a season-ending injury this year, and then he's deals with that the rest of his career.
It's the harsh reality of the NFL.
Happens. Yeah.
It's always amazing, the stark contrast, like baseball and football. Like if you saw the two sports and then saw the contract situations for both, you would just logically assume that the football player was the one with the guaranteed money. The guy literally putting his body and life on the line every single snap. You think, oh, that guy's money's got to be guaranteed. Surely that's the guy with the security. No.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Right. Or wrong, whatever. Wrong agreeing with your wrong. Right agreeing with your wrong. Wrong. Wrong, wrong.
When two wrongs make a right.
Yeah. But three do.
They can.
Yeah. Sure.
Running out of time here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Of course, American Pharoah going for the second leg of the Triple Crown today. And the people at, the Belmont Stakes, they certainly hope that American Pharoah gets it done. So people actually care about that race in a couple of
otherwise.
Weeks. Otherwise, I'm like, what?
Nobody
horse
watched
race,
that
huh?
horse race.
What?
There's a race going on?
Yeah. See, Floyd Mayweather was at a NBA game and got booed viciously, I think, at Oakland.
The whole world hates him.
You robbed everyone.
Yeah. Gosh, why couldn't you be more exciting of a fighter? Or be a better person? One or the other.
You know, I would say if he was just a better dude,
that
would be totally different. But it's like, it's just hard to get behind just a bad dude.
Yeah.
Just a bad dude.
He's got how many, sexual assault cases in his past?
Too many.
It just a letter from his kid just came out this week of one of the cases too. Yeah, not good.
No, he's a bum.
Yeah,
he's an absolute bum.
Yep.
But he knows how to defensive box.
Yeah, he knows how to duck a punch.
He knows how to duck a punch and dodge a fight. That's exactly
that's
right.
Oh man, haven't seen that many. I don't have a joke for it. I wish I did, but
nothing.
Nothing. I'll have to think of one, and I'll let you know.
Oh, there you go. Let it percolate for a week, and then come back with it. Yeah. We'll have the Cardinals on the radio today, hosting the Tigers live at 12:20 on AM 1540. A pair of Southpaws on the mound. Tyler Lyons for the Cardinals, and a fellow named David Price. You may have heard of him.
He's pretty good.
The Tigers. Kind of good.
Good. Could be his final year in Detroit. Maybe not. We'll see.
Yeah, it was Max Scherzer who got paid last year. It'll be David Price who's going to be getting paid some serious bank coming up.
Yep. There's a lot of good free agent starting pitchers on the market this offseason.
It's like, I don't know if it's better to be the only guy in the market, like Max Scherzer was really last year, or there have to be an abundance of guys on the market. I would think if there's the more top-flight guys are on the market, it's all about who signs that first contract. What's the first one go for?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Shields did go late, but he still got paid this past offseason. Hmm.
Good work if you can get it.
Yeah.
Good work if you can get it. That is it for WSMI Sports Saturday. Cardinals today, 12:20 on AM 1540. And then all sorts of regional baseball for you next week on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. We'll stream all the games at WSMIRadio.com. And you can find the entire broadcast schedule online, WSMIRadio.com. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mai. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.